Lord, for all that He is to me, I'm glad to be His child. I have a quote, another quote this evening by another official of government. Here, and what you have a saying was whatever blame or complaint you had, we're going to take care of it from this point forward. And that was a society who was willing to take the blame. But since then, I want us to revert back to the mid 90s, 1995-ish, something like that. Does anybody remember anything about O.J. Simpson? His ex-wife and her boyfriend were cruelly murdered. And all of the evidence seemed to point to O.J., that he had enough money that he was able to purchase the right kind of attorneys, and it became a mockery to the justice system. And he was exonerated. He did serve a little bit of time for Barry Goldwater, was that his name? For the boyfriend, but he didn't have to serve any time for the ex-wife. Supposed to be several years, I think he only served 8 of them. Then he got off free. Because he had enough money to take care of that. So he had Johnny Cochran, and it was a big fiasco. But what that did was it created in our society a thought pattern. It's not the buck stops here. That's not the thought pattern. The thought pattern is it's not my fault. We also had the Menendez brothers that murdered their parents, and it was not their fault because they had been abused by their parents, which that was a horrible thing too. That was horrible. I'm not here to excuse their behavior at all, but I'm also not here to excuse the way they were treated. But what that has created is in our society, we have no fault. No one takes any fault. I didn't realize how close to home that was until a couple of years ago, I entered into a parking lot of my dentist, and a man backed into me, backed into the side of my car. And he quickly got out, was so very sweet, little, talked to me, and I was upset because it's like, no, I don't want to have to deal with all of this. And he gave me his insurance card or his number and his number and his name, and we sat inside and talked till it was my time for the appointment and came out. And that afternoon, I got a call from his insurance lady. I thought, okay, so he's... And she said, your insurance has contacted me. And Larry Thompson, I think was his name, was the driver of the pickup that was involved in the car accident, and he was taking no fault. No fault. And so then I talked with our insurance, the insurance lady, and I said, there's no way I could have sustained that kind of damage unless I'd been in a demolition derby. There's no way. So it ended up being out of our hands. It ended up being between the insurance. And do you know what? They found no fault in me. No fault. Our insurance had to pay for everything. But it's because that seed was planted a long time ago. And I learned a very valuable lesson not to trust the little sweet little man. It really just shattered my faith. I thought, no, this is a society. But I thought, this is society that we're in. I didn't do it. But this goes a long way back, and I want us to study that just for a little bit. So let's go back to Genesis. See how early it started? Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Adam and Eve had partaken of the tree of knowledge, and things changed between them. It became And the Lord came walking in the evening and said, Adam, eat, and they have hidden. And this is not what their usual evenings for. That's not what is usually happening. They usually talk to me. And he said, Adam, eat. Ninth verse, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? This was not anything that was different. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. So where is the first blame ever committed? In the garden. And I look at that and I think, he didn't say, I'm he. He didn't say, I did. He didn't say, it was me. He said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. How easy is that to do? I didn't do it. There were circumstances that caused me to make this decision. But really, I didn't do it. So we'll go one, and you know, it didn't take long for there to be other things that were happening too. And in the fourth chapter, we already see another thing going on. Cain now has a jealous spirit against Abel, his brother. The fifth verse, 4 and 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he, the Lord, had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be on the earth. He received a curse. On his head. Because he wasn't willing to say, I did. He wasn't willing to say, I have a problem that I need to take care of. He wasn't willing to say, I'm the problem that I need to take care of. And that's the way it is in this society. And here's the danger of this kind of thinking. When you imbibe in that thought pattern, it doesn't take you long to think that you can face the judgment with that same kind of mentality. And that's the danger in this. So if you'll turn with me also to Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Another no fault. I didn't do it. 32nd chapter and the 21st verse. And Moses said to Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought such great sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that are set on mischief. For they said unto thee, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave me it. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do anything. Not my fault. The people were just overwrought, and all I did was say, take off your gold, and when I threw it in the fire, out came the calf. So there's more than one lie here, isn't there? To cover up. And I look at that and think, do we really feel like that we can't get away with this with the Lord? If we're trying to cover up in people's minds. So let's go on. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And the 10th verse. This is talking about Saul. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know what? He was being flattering with his words because of the guilt that he had. Beware of that. But you know, sometimes we can do that. We can go ahead and do what we are going to do, and then we'll cover it up with, I'm so blessed with the Lord. He's been so good to me. I'm so glad to serve him and keep his commandments, and all the while we'll disobey him. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I heard someone say that they felt like gambling was okay because they said, everything that I win, I give to the Lord. There's two deceits there, isn't there? Do you know what? Sometimes we can push for the thing we want as long as we can give it to the Lord, quote unquote. Do you realize you're covering up something? Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said to thee, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, this is when the Lord chose Saul. Even though Saul was his head was above everybody else in stature, he was little in his own sight. This is why, and he was from the smallest tribe. He was not of anything of notoriety, but the Lord picked him. And that tells me that Saul was special. Saul was something that the Lord sought after because he was little in his own sight. But then power got to his head, and that's happened a lot. Was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee into on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. And consumed means all, not part. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. If I could put the name of God on it, isn't it all right? And Samuel said, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh my. Many times we do things, and then we put the label on it as unto the Lord, because we just still want to do things. No, it's not gambling, but it may be other things. I will do what I want to do, but we're going to call it the will of the Lord. And that's a very dangerous thing, because you've taken the power of God out of his hands and put it into your own.
Yes.
When Saul understood that he was of great power, he no longer saw himself as little in God's sight. And because of that, he made decisions that he felt like were better than what the Lord had commanded. And when you get into a place where you feel like you know better than the Lord, you're in a very dangerous spot. Very dangerous. And you must remember that the Lord sees it all. And he knows the total intent of the heart. If we'll go on to a kind of an unusual one, I thought it was 1 Kings 3. 16. Then came there two women, which were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child of her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while that handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living son is mine. Because the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Sounds like a legitimate problem, doesn't it? It is a legitimate problem. I had a baby that was living. You had a baby, and it is now dead. And you swapped. It wasn't in a big hospital that had several babies that could have been switched at birth. It was just the two of us. Both of us had sons within 3 days, and yours is dead and mine is living, but you slipped yours into mine, my arms, and made me believe that my baby was actually, in truth, in reality, your baby. So put this before a court nowadays. What would they do? Solomon was wise. The king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, O my lord, give her the living son, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. I've lost a child. She didn't realize she was telling herself. I've lost a child, you just might as well lose a child too. And I'm thinking the heartlessness. Oh, I don't know that I'd want to even give a living child to this one. Oh my, here we are. But the real mom said, No, spare that child. Spare that child. And then truth prevailed. The king knew who the real mother was. The one that had overlaid and killed her baby. It's not my fault. It just happened. But I'm going to rectify it by stealing her child. And she'll never know. It's in the middle of the night. She'll never know. And I sometimes think, who do people think they're fooling? Even if she had gotten away with it and never had to present it before the king. You know, the Lord knows all of those things. The Lord doesn't forget anything. I have been amazed, I guess, not amazed, brought to a place of sobriety. It's a sober to pass the cemetery to me. Because there are many people there in so many different cemeteries, and there's very few people in a cemetery that I will know. These people are unknown to me. But the Lord knows every one of them. You know, if there was a child molester, a child neglecter, a child murderer, Lord knows.
Sure.
And he hasn't forgotten. Now, I think of cemeteries that are here. What about cemeteries of people that have died in the thousands of years that the world has been in existence? The Lord still hasn't forgotten.
Sure.
And we must remember he will know our tally too. We won't answer before him. So I want us to understand the seriousness of... Do you remember when... let's go to 2 Samuel. We'll talk about this one too with David. 2 Samuel 12 and 1. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And you know, when he numbered the people, he had been commanded not to number the people. Don't know how many is serving. Let that be God's number. And when he had done that, he felt remorse because he said, I have sinned. And I feel like many times he would present to himself, I did the wrong thing. You know, when he cut off the skirt of Saul's garment, he confessed, I should not have done that. and I'm here to tag you. I'm sorry I did that. So he was always quick to do that, but this one little thing he wasn't. And somehow that's a mystery to me as to why he felt like he could cover it up. And he covered it up with not just one lie, but murder. And he covered that up too. And the Lord sent Nathan, this is the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. Now David was a poetic person. He was a musical person. He was a very talented man. He was able to praise the Lord. He was able to fight mightily. He was able to give God praise and glory. So, in such an intense manner. And so, Nathan telling him a story was very effective because David was all ears. A rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Well, his interest is really peaked now because he loves flocks, herds. He was a shepherd. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. This is not just an animal, this is our pet. This is the thing we love. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own wool herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but he spared to take of his own. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come, was coming to him. Now that's probably one of the most effective stories you could have told David. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And David knew he had been caught. And you know what? I've seen a lot of people repent when they've been caught. And I've often wondered, are you repenting because you were caught? Are you repenting because you were sorry you did that to you? I always wonder about that. Because if they hadn't been caught, they might have continued doing it. But when you're real sorry for what you've done, you won't wait to be caught. That's why we have a very serious thing to take care of, and that is our own soul.
Yes.
We have a charge. And in Philippians, if you'll turn with me to Philippians, the second chapter. It said, the 10th verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every knee. Every knee in the cemetery. Every knee still living. Every knee of every past cemeteries, deaths, everywhere, that knee will bow. And if we can keep that in our heart and understand, Lord, I don't want to be caught. I want to confess now. I want it to be that in that eternal judgment, you can say, well done, because I've already put that under the blood, rather than to be caught red-handed and realize it's too late. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This brings a seriousness, so this next verse is very serious. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, I don't want you just to be good when I'm with you. I want you to be good when I'm not with you. I don't want you just to be good on Sunday. I want you to be good on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want all of those days to follow. I don't want it to be just at a meeting. I don't want it to be just at Monarch. I don't want it to be just at certain times that I'm going to be good and be righteous and call on God's name. I want you to serve me all the time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And there are a lot of people who love that verse flippantly. Oh, I can just work out my own salvation and forget the fear and trembling, because someday you are going, the buck is going to stop here. It stops at Jesus. There's going to come a day that you will either confess your sins or confess that the Lord has covered your sins. And it's much better to have your sins go forth than to be caught and say, "Oh Lord, you died for those sins, but I did not avail myself of that blood to cover it." So I want this to be a serious message to us, to understand that with the Lord, the buck stops here. Yeah,